Lovely, lovely. So great to see you all. Hey everyone. Oh my goodness, we've got like some real old school folks here. So fun. Please, yeah, if you can and you're able to turn your camera on, always great to see your faces. And it looks like some of you have got multiple responsibilities today, so please take care of yourself as well. Like, it's not for my benefit, but more just for yours. So happy to see you all. Welcome to our September supervision and support call. I'm going to do a little bit of like just catching you up. And then if you do have something you're bringing today, please just mention it in the chat and we'll come to you. But I thought maybe just to start, we kind of get here. Yeah. So I just want to invite you to kind of get physically here, heartfully here. So you may want to like just notice your feet on the floor and the weight of your body in your seat. Feel free to close your eyes if that helps you be more present. Just notice you're here. Let your belly soften, your shoulders slump. You need to stretch out your neck or soften your jaw. If you've been doing smiling or yelling this morning, then, all good. And yeah, just bring your attention back to you. So now you've come here to have your energy increased, supported. You're doing this for you. And your work and your clients. It's a really wonderful thing to do. Not everyone does it. So just give yourself a little thank you for being here. And when you're ready, just give your toes a wiggle, kind of feel yourself coming back into the room. Nice. Nice to get here. Yeah. So it's really good to see you. I'm so glad you're all here. We're going to do our usual today. If this is your first call, we're going to, I'm just going to invite anyone who is bringing an issue. It could be a client issue, something that just feels a little off with someone, or you're not quite sure where to go with a client, or it could be something with your business. It could be something just for you as a human, that you just want to bring. This can be something that you're challenged by. It could also be something you want to celebrate. So, if you have an issue that you're bringing, please do stick your name in the chat, say me too, or use a reaction, whatever the fancy things are on Zoom, and we'll come to you. Great, 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 great. So I just wanted to say I'm really delighted to be back doing these calls, and I just wanted to let you know that this will be continuing for the foreseeable. If you have been following along, you might know that my little family are heading to New Zealand next year for a couple of years, primarily to take care of my mother-in-law, who's kind of in the last sort of season of her life. And we just want to be present for that. So we're doing this kind of adventure down under, and we'll be living in what actually feels like a real treat. Like, my mother-in-law lives in this very idyllic, beachy community, very close to Auckland, the main biggest city. And it's really cute, lots of cafes, very gentrified. There's about 17 delis. That's my husband's family. So, what we lack, unfortunately, in diversity, we will find absolutely in the largest city around us. But it feels like really, really cool to be doing this. And I share that because this will have an impact probably on the times that we have these calls next year. But they will still run, and I'm kind of also preparing for, you know, managing that time zone. So it will hopefully work for you as much as me. So that's a little update for folks. Let's get to you and all of you. So we've got Sharon, Lisa, and Maria. Hey Fiona, nice to see you. So Maria, let's start with you, if that's okay. You're at
Hi.
home. Hi love.
Yes, please. Hello. I have a 17-year-old, I think she is, a young woman who's just started working with me. And she's in her last year of school. And I just wanted some advice on kind of how to sort of take our work together. So she's come with me because she has this group of friends that she doesn't really like. She's pretty certain, well, she tells me she's certain that they don't like her. They don't want her hanging around with her. She's kind of feels like it's too late to kind of make a new group of friends in the school that she's in. And anyway, when she looks around, they're not really her people. And we've only just had sort of two sessions together, and I can see that it's quite painful talking about it because it feels so vulnerable. And I think she's really embarrassed actually that she's 17. She doesn't have like a best friend. She has a boyfriend that, from what I can gather, sounds like quite a nice boy. So I kind of came in to we had a session on Tuesday, and I thought, well, I'm just going to kind of talk about I'm going to ask her about school and how her A levels are going. And what kind of came up was that she never ever asks for help. She doesn't want to bother any teachers. And I was sort of inviting her to explore whether there's a connection with that and her friends. So she sits there with her friends and says nothing. She sits in class and says nothing. And so I've kind of got a few ideas of what to do, like having a look at the life map and the protective beliefs grid with her. I'm just wondering if there is anything else. I think she's obviously her self-esteem is just really, really low, and she's got this, opportunity to going off to university next year that she can kind of start afresh. But she's kind of carried this with her from primary school to secondary school, and then, this seems to be a pattern that I want. She was obviously here because she wants to break it, but also kind of getting through. She's still got the whole year left of school, and yeah, it's kind of hard to know whether to. Yeah, I don't really know kind of which I sort of. I'm going to stick with those things, but I was wondering if you had any other suggestions about. Like making new friends, basically. I haven't really talked to her yet about whether what she kind of does out of school, whether she does any kind of hobbies or anything. And I'm also trying to kind of get a little bit. She went to Reading Festival and hated it. I'm sort of trying to dig into why she hated it. And I think she didn't really like the big crowds. I think she's quite sort of introverted. But I think she sort of feels because she's 17 that these are the things she should be doing. So there's a real kind of tension there that she's sort of annoyed with herself that she didn't like it. She said on the Sunday night, and her boyfriend, this is why I think he sounds like quite a nice boy, she said, I want to go now. And he was like, okay, fine, we'll go. And he just went left with her. But she sort of feels, I think, disappointed that that's how it ended because I think she was hoping it was going to be this thing that she really, really loved. But actually, most of it she didn't enjoy. So yeah, there's a yeah. So I was just wondering if there's any kind of thing that you would suggest to kind of that I'm missing that I could work on with her.
My initial kind of response is it sounds like you're absolutely on it.
Okay, good.
Right?
That's
Like,
nice to hear.
yeah, like it sounds like your instincts around this, you know, like the connection between this kind of hyper self-reliance. Right. And kind of, I don't need anyone. So then it can be really hard when the belief is, I don't need anyone. It can be quite hard to then show up in a friendship where really to do that, we need to kind of share some of ourselves and not always have the answers, be vulnerable, you know, just for the shits and giggles of hanging out with someone we like. you know.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know if there is anything in you that feels like there's entanglement around this.
I guess I think that there's always it, like I always have to be really aware that I'm not trying to fix any of it.
Sure.
So yeah, I always have to be kind of aware of that. But I don't think there's entanglement. I'm really trying to not fix it, not kind of see it as something that's broken, you know, really just trying to be like, yeah, I don't know whether detached is the right word, but kind of having that sort of distance, if you like. But yeah, I don't think there's any entanglement. I don't feel like there is. Do you think there is from what I've told you?
No, I'm just, and
No.
just merely saying, maybe
Yeah.
checking in, but it doesn't sound,
I
feels
don't think
clean to you, then
it
that's
does. It
cool.
does. It does. It's just that thing of, isn't it? When they come to you with something, it just you know, you have that picture of somebody feeling surrounded by people and so lonely. It is, you know, obviously I feel things, but I don't think it's entanglement.
And I guess that's the thing to notice is, you know, that lonely is wrong,
Yeah.
right? Could be something that gets carried in to the
Yeah.
sessions. I guess, you know, one thing I might offer is, well, I will offer is that you could invite her to see the rest of this year as just an experiment to play with this idea of friendship and experiment with maybe, yeah, it could be inside or outside of school. You know, just finding what are the people where she feels the safest and most herself with. So that, you know, the idea is let's have this year where you've kind of got nothing to lose,
Yeah.
experiment with this so that when you do get into uni and you are more independent and therefore more self-reliant, it's like you're going to shine. We also want you to have some fun. And I guess
And I
the other
think
thing.
really kind of know her, I suppose her knowing what fun is to her, like going back to the festival thing, like
That's
this is what
right.
on paper 17-year-olds think is fun, but actually it's not fun to me. So I guess some work on that as well, like defining what
She
fun
gets
is.
to decide what fun is for her. And if she's introverted, that may be things that there isn't a whole lot of people around. And I think that's part of it too, right? Is normalizing that, you know, so many of us don't actually, like, there's a myth that you need a best friend forever. So many of us don't have friends, aren't still friends with the people we went to school with. Like, it's more common than not to, you know, only have a kind of vague understanding of what even happened to the people you went to school with, you know? So it's that thing of, look, you have the freedom to just play here. And I guess that would be something, if there is a tendency for hyper self-reliance, it can often be a little sticky to actually play. So there may be some beliefs in there around, you know, having fun and being silly and all of that jazz.
Okay.
17, man.
I know. She's so lovely, and I think there's some other complicated stuff that has started to come out about the festival, that her stepsister, who's a year younger, came, and her stepdad or her dad said, "You look after her," and she went off and she took loads of drugs and was meeting all these boys. And then she just wanted to go home. And then, but she was torn with this responsibility as well to her. I can't remember if it was her dad or his stepdad, to not leave this stepsister. And so she's obviously seen as a very responsible. That's obviously part of her hyper reliance as well, is that, you know, that self hyper self reliance. Sorry, that other people rely on her too, because.
Older sister, man. Older sister. It's very, very, very common response to being the older sister is, We're socialized to take on more responsibility. If you're the oldest brother, then it's not the same.
Okay.
And it's just because, we live in a patriarchy. I think part of this is, okay, so there's a part of you that is hyper self-reliant, really responsible. That's great. What about the other parts of you? Where do they get to have some fun?
Yeah. And so I guess we just break that down into the really small, go to the experiments
Yeah.
piece, just break that down into really, really tiny steps.
And you may even want to do things like, when she looks around at the world, are there things that she'd like to try but never has? Or, are there, kind of sports or creative activities or hobbies or, places she'd like to kind of go? What are her kind of genuine interests and stuff? And she may not know because she's 17, so she's figuring that out as she goes. But the idea that that can be fun, that can be a source of joy for her. And you're more likely to meet like-minded people when you've got some shared interests,
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I think just
Thank
holding it lightly, though, is I'm just aware of Lisa's comment in the chat. She's really got great discernment. She knows when it's right and when it's not. So it's like, and this is the thing, it sounds to me like of the protectors, the one that's dominating in this context is the scapegoat, right? So it's so hard for me to make friends. So we want to move around to self-trust. You can trust yourself to know when a person, a place, or a thing isn't for you. Yeah, I think holding it lightly as well,
Oh, we'll be
it's all
back.
right that you don't have
Rose
time.
bit then.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Does that
That's
help you,
really
Marie?
helpful. Super helpful. Thank you so
Oh,
much.
well, you're so,
Thank
so
you.
welcome. It's really good to see you.
You too.
Nice. That's nice. Do feel free, folks, if you've got like things that are coming up for you, you think, oh, I'd like to make that point, or I want to add that in, or let the person know. Chuck it in the chat. It's cool. And then it's like you're actively kind of listening in. All right, Sharon. Hi. I'm getting double Sharon this week. It's so cool.
Hello, it's me again. Hello, everyone. So I've got this client who is she's part of my mastermind group. And a couple of months ago, she was in the mastermind and she was talking about this. She basically came in and she said she's got this open program that she kind of wants to fill. But she wasn't doing anything about it. She found marketing really, really hard, and she was kind of like, oh, I don't know why. I know what to do, but I don't seem able to do it. And people, gave her suggestions and all the rest of it, but I was just left with this sense of, well, there's something else going on here because she knows what to do and she's not doing it. So I reached out to her and I said, I sense there's something else going on here. So, shall we, have a one-to-one about it? Bearing in mind at that time, the one-to-one wasn't part of the mastermind offering, but I just kind of really felt that it would be kind of, I really wanted to help her. So we did, and we had a fantastic session, and there was loads of stuff going on, and, did all the belief buster thing, and she came out with like a new belief, and she was all kind of, excited and all the rest of it. Then we had about three sessions within the mastermind, or we'd had. When obviously when I wasn't able to facilitate it, and I said to you, Fiona was helping me with that, so she had all the kind of input around self-belief and said that she was going to play with all these experiments and all this kind of stuff, but she didn't, because when we followed it up, she didn't have anything to share, and she just said, I haven't got round to it or whatever. Anyway, now obviously in the new mastermind that I've got, the one-to-one is a part of it. And I spoke to her last week when obviously I had those one-to-ones with everybody kind of and asked that question, what help and support do you need? And she said, what was the thing she said? Something about, oh, like there's so much that I need to get on with and whatever. And I said, oh yeah, but you know, I sense that there's still, you know, an awful lot of stuff going on for you under the surface that now that we've got this one-to-one time, it would be just really, you know, great to explore. And she said, oh yeah, but I kind of, you know, that is always going to be there and I get that and there's all that stuff going on, but actually I just need to get on with it and I just need to, you know, get clients and kind of, you know, fill my diary. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, because I really felt kind of like this resistance. So she's obviously booked her first sessions. I'll be speaking to her, I think it's next week actually. I'm kind of a bit unsure how to kind of approach it, because on the one hand, we can talk about her business and marketing and whatever. And in a sense, I'd be probably more comfortable doing that because that's the easy bit, isn't it? And she probably just wants me to tell her what to do. But I know she won't do it because there's still this stuff going on. And she doesn't seem to want to go there. And I know she's got this husband who is, you know, seems quite controlling, you know, and he's in the background. And I think he's the one who's telling her, oh, you've got, you know, you've got no bookings in your diary. You need to get on with it. And she made some comment about he's withdrawn my allowance or something along those lines. And now I'm on my own and I need to make money and he's not giving me money. So I think she's feeling all that. And I'm kind of like, oh, because it's just going to be a waste of time if we don't address all this other stuff. So.
So what's your instinct telling you, Sharon? Like, what do you think is the most supportive approach to working with this client?
I mean, you know, obviously it's for her to tell me how she wants to be supported and what she feels she needs. But I know she's going to tell me that what she needs is just marketing advice. But I feel that's not what she needs, that I feel I wouldn't be doing my job fully if I just let her, I'm not get away with it, but you know what I mean? I'm not serving her in the best way that I can. But then again, if that's what she, I don't want to upset her and I don't want to push her into talking about things and her feeling, oh, well, this is a waste of time because, you know, she's not told me what I need to go and get on with. And so it's a little bit kind of...
So it sounds like, I'm with you. I think your instinct is bang on here around, you know, actually, it's not, she knows what to do. That actually isn't the issue. She's
so experienced, smart, you know, right? She knows what to do.
And I think that's the thing that we need as self-belief coaches to just remember, oh, our clients are already really smart. They know, they kind of know what to do. What they don't know is why they're not doing it. And when we can intellectually see, I just need to do this, 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 and this, it can be incredibly frustrating and embarrassing and sometimes shameful to admit to someone, yeah, but every time I go to do that, I actually go and do this instead. I go and, you know, watch Netflix, or I go for a walk, or I faff around on my website instead. Because you both know that the best thing to do to serve her is to do the thing that she already knows she needs to do. The fastest way to help her get there is to look at why she's not doing that. And I think when we have a client who, and it sounds like you're describing a client with a bit of an adversarial style, right, when it comes to that challenge,
actually,
she's
kind of
like defending herself.
No, I mean she's not adversarial at all. I mean she's a coach herself, and she's so, I would say, quite accommodating and kind of and this is why I think she's the husband thing, you know, is you know, I think she's quite what's the word, passive, you know, she doesn't stand up for herself a lot, you know, kind of thing. And I think, and she's a coach herself, and I think she knows what's going on. Actually, she knows why she isn't taking action, but it's like she doesn't want to confront it because it might take her into a place that she doesn't want to go. I think, I don't know.
My sense is that there's a risk here that you step outside the scope of the practice, right? What the contract that you have with her is to look at her business and supporting her business, that she has shared her close relationship with her husband that you're having some feelings and thoughts about, I think that would be something I would say, we can talk about that, but it would be separate to this. Or, you know, there's almost like a clarity for both of you to sit with this. The beauty of doing that, of staying kind of in your lane, is that as soon as she starts to feel more confident around her, you know, that she can, you know, do, once she starts doing the things she's doing, she will start earning her own money, and she can then decide if she wants to make different choices around how that gets managed within her family, right? That's not to say that that isn't worthy of attention. It's just outside the scope of what she's contracted you as a coach for. So my sense is that would be something to just be aware of, that you might be trying to rescue her from something that's much larger than the scope of the work.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm just noticing I'm getting a bit tangled up. And by God, it's so easy to do that when we know this is going on. I think that, though, that for, in her best interest, it's to encourage her to see that, you know, and I think that that kind of embarrassment and shame can be even more, you know, exacerbated when you're a coach yourself and you kind of have some inkling around it. But we all need to look at our own stuff, right? Yeah. Like, we're all still human. So I guess my steer in terms of like what to actually do at this next session, it would be to kind of call out what you're seeing. Right? I know you can do this.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in is really supporting you to figure out why you're not doing it, and then helping you to make some different choices. Right? You know, and checking in with her, would that be supportive? Because she's already given you, you know, several sessions where she said, I know what I need to do. Mm. And it's like, knowing it is not the same as doing it.
Mm. I think it's really interesting what you said about shame there, because I do think that's what she, because one of the things she said to me about in this new iteration of the mastermind, even though it's a really small group, she said, oh, actually, it'd be really nice to have one-to-one, because sometimes I don't always feel that comfortable sharing, because I do feel that there is this shame that I know I'm not doing this, and I feel like, why can't I do it? And she feels that even within a fully supportive small group, she's still feeling that.
Yeah, so. And you can say that to her, right? It's like, I've been thinking about what you said. Here's what I'd love to do with you. And I would take her through the uncovering protective beliefs, right? Look at what she knows what to do, what she's doing instead, what are the worries and fears? And then just looking at that, you know, in terms of, you know, you can go into meaning making, you could go into belief buster, whatever feels good to you. But there's something about letting her see that it's not because she's not capable, or because she can't do this, or, you know, somehow she's cursed, right? It's actually, there's a really good reason why she's holding herself back, and it will be something that she's afraid of.
Mm.
Even if that feels illogical or disproportionate. It's like, yeah.
Thank
you. How does that land for you, Sharon?
Yeah, it's really, really helpful, actually. I feel a lot more comfortable with that, because I just really didn't know what to. I thought, I just need to avoid this, but I don't really want to avoid it, because it's not serving it in the best way that I can, you know?
Honestly, I think whenever your instincts are telling you, your sort of intuitions are telling you, something's off with this client, I don't think we're talking about the thing we should be talking about, I would say the 80 to 90% of the time, the best thing you can do is name what's not being talked about.
Mm.
Just name it. It's already in the room.
Yeah.
They already know. And it may be the only conversation, the only venue for that conversation to happen in their world. and you know, bring your natural warmth and humor to it. It's like, I know, isn't it? It's so freaking frustrating when we know what to do, but we don't do it. Like all of that. It's like, oh man, I do this all. This is an average Tuesday. I mean, it just is. That's part of who we are. Like, there's no point you get to where you don't have that. So it's okay. This doesn't mean anything unless we make it mean that.
Okay, that's wonderful. I just noticed Fiona's here as well. She really knows who we're talking about. So.
Right.
Hi, Fiona.
So, and so, you know, I think this is such a, what I would also offer to you, Sharon, is you've done this really brave thing where you've gone from, you know, a kind of training mastermind to also offering one-to-one coaching, which is, you know, it's on a growth edge for you. So it's totally natural for you to sort of go, whoa, and now they're bringing the real stuff. What?
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit wobbly, right? So that is just all part of it. But I love your instincts on this one. It feels absolutely bang on.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
You know, I'll get on. Thank you.
Brilliant. Yeah, do. So good. So good. Yeah, exactly. So great that she's even telling you all this. Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Love the comments in here. Yep. Just Fiona saying, clearly they trust you so much. And Sophie, sounds like you're doing a fab job. Thanks for sharing this really helpful insights. So interesting, isn't it? When people bring stuff and you're like, oh, there's an echo of that in a client I'm working with. And yeah, that's why I think this stuff in groups is just freaking fab. Yeah. Lisa, did you want to talk about your thing?
Hi. Honestly, no, I really don't, but I need to. So yeah, let's do it. I feel like I need to give a content warning. It's quite heavy. There's a sudden bereavement thing as part of this. So just to check that's all right with everyone. Sass already knows this. So I have a client that I've been working with long term. I'm feeling quite rocked and emotional this week. She was, I've been working with her for over a year. When she first came to me, she was really, really struggling in herself. To the outside world, she probably seemed okay, but was really struggling. And it's been such a journey, and she's been doing so well, feeling so grounded and connected to herself and her life, and her and her husband have this really solid relationship, and they've been kind of making big plans for the next phase of their life and starting to set the wheels in motion to move towards that over the next year or two. And she's only a couple of years older than me, and I got a message from her on Tuesday morning to say that her husband had died suddenly at the weekend. And it's just really, really rocked me. I didn't want to come on and cry. I thought I was going to be okay. It's just felt really, really hard to. I think I've always been one of those people that, because I've had bereavements in my life, I've always really felt able to sit with friends who have gone through stuff, or are going through stuff, and it's, I don't know, I haven't felt so affected by other people's things. But I think when you work so deeply with a client and you know the depths of their stuff and the journey that they've been on, and you know, the detail of their hopes and dreams that probably nobody else in their world knows, or at least, you know, not very many. Thank you guys. Yeah, it's just really, really rocked me. I spent the first day feeling like, by the way, I don't know what my question is, I just need to talk about it. I spent the first day feeling like I couldn't sit down. It's like I needed to mobilize and do something, almost as if like it was my job to fix it. Of course it isn't, and I can't, and nobody can. And I said to Sass and a couple of other people on a group that I just felt like I needed to get in the car and go there. Obviously, that wasn't the right thing to do, and I wouldn't. But So I felt like I was kind of like fighting it the first day. Yesterday, I just felt really fucking angry. Sorry, you've got kids around, some of you, really angry. And I just felt like, what on earth is the point of this work when you can do so much work with somebody and take them to this really, like the last session I had with her, it was so, so beautiful to see how good she was feeling in herself and in her life. And like that was like a week or two ago. And to just feel like, geez, we can do all this work with people and then life still sideswipes them. And I just really felt like, what am I even doing here? Today, I just feel sad. So I think Sass Julia was right in our group. Like it's a grief process for me, which I hadn't even recognized. I think the first day, part of me was going, for God's sake, you're just her coach. Like this isn't happening to you. Don't make it about you. But actually just acknowledging that, yeah, there is a grief process that I need to go through. And honestly, I really, really didn't want to talk about this today, but I'm just so aware that if I'm only going to be able to be here healthily for all of my clients, if I work through this now, rather than kind of trying to push it aside as if it's not really that big a deal, because it is a big deal. It's a massive deal. So yeah.
That's shit.
Yeah.
Death is shit.
It really is.
There's no way to polish it.
No.
It's a huge loss.
Yeah.
And you sitting with the grief of it from the angle that you're in these in your client's life. Makes so much sense. It might take some time.
Yeah. I think I'm slightly beating myself up going like, again, Sass, we've talked about this before, like tender-hearted, massive over-identifier here. I think I do a pretty good job of being like lovingly detached, you know, certainly to outcomes and breakthroughs and all that stuff that is so easy to get entangled with as a coach. But I don't know. I don't know that I am even capable of protecting myself from feeling this way about this stuff.
And nor should you.
No.
If you didn't have your enormous heart, you wouldn't be able to do this work in the way that you do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And the thing to notice is there is a difference, right, between having your own very healthy, full spectrum of emotions response to this versus giving it to your client. And I'd also offer, you've worked with this woman for a year and you said on your last session that she was in a totally different place. So also, you know, hold in your heart that the work that you two have done together means that she is more resourced than ever to be able to walk through this part of her life. And that may offer, you know, some solace.
Yeah, I have been sitting with that actually. And there's been this, you know, sometimes you get like something somebody said playing on loop. And I think it was a couple of sessions ago. And she, you know, she was doing really well. And her and her husband were like really close, solid, lovely, beautiful relationship. And also because work situations needed to spend, you know, chunks of time apart. And she's always found that really hard, but it was the right thing for their family. You know, it's what they both chose at the time for really good reasons. And she said, oh, for the first time, I actually feel like I miss him, but I'm okay on my own. And that's been replaying through my head over and over again. Because in one way, it's bloody chilling, isn't it? It's like, oh, we never know what's down the road. And as well, I I can't imagine how. I don't know. It's no better, is it? There's nothing better about this happening now rather than a year ago. But it's. I do feel like she is more. She won't feel like it at the moment, but I do feel like she's more equipped, and that helps me to kind of feel like, okay, well, I can't fix this, and yet it's not lost. Like what we've done together isn't lost.
None of us. Nothing gets wasted.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I think the thing I wanted to ask, and I don't know that you or anybody has an answer for this, but I just don't know how to move forward, like how to do this moving forward. Like for now, I just need to work it through myself so that I'm in a healthy place.
Yeah.
And I've already responded to you, of course. And initially, my initial response was, you know, you just need to know that I'm here, and that if you need to talk to somebody other than your family, you know, we don't need a coach. I'm here. You can just reach out, because I don't know. Is that what we should do as a coach? Probably not by the coaching standards, but this is a human being situation. And honestly, if she wants to just cry down the end of the phone, I can do that. I know I can do that.
Well, and also remember, Lisa, like you're holding a space for someone to process. That's coaching.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think I get tangled up with that. You know, like when I trained, like God knows how many years ago, it was all like, don't get into all that stuff. I still get tangled with that. But yeah, so I said.
Well, that's the thing. Like 20 years ago, we weren't supposed to talk about emotions.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So, you know, that's bollocks, isn't it? So this is the thing to just recognize is don't make yourself wrong. Don't make any of your feelings wrong. Right? Don't make the way that you take this forward with your client wrong. It's like it all counts. If you're holding space for a client, you're doing it from your healthier self. You can trust yourself to know, oh, when am I getting entangled? When might I need some support to process this outside of the session? And you can trust yourself to show up for your client when and if and how she needs you to.
I feel like I want to reach out to her in like a week or two if I haven't heard, and just, and it, I suppose what has occurred to me in the last couple of days is, and I won't share any detail about them, but this, the husband has a sizable business which will not be being taken care of now. And so I know that will fall to her. And well, I know it is because she said it was in the message, and there's so much stuff to sort out. Plus she has a ton of kids, some of whom are grown up. And I suppose what I didn't feel into that at the time when I responded, but since then I felt like, wow, she probably really needs some practical help. Like you said to me in your message, that's, what do you think she needs? And I was, yeah, she totally might need emotional support, but also she's going to need to get some stuff done, like from a place of completely, like feeling like the bottom's dropped out of her world. Like how do we mobilize and actually do the practical stuff in that sense? I mean, I know we have this survival mechanism that kicks in, but I kind of feel like I want to just say, please know that this is something that you can bring. Like she's got a ton of sessions available. She paid up front for a long period of time. And I wouldn't charge her to just, you know, talk. But if she actually needs practical coaching, I want her to know that that's an option, because often she's come to the coaching, and because she engaged me as a coach on like a personal level, she'll often say like, oh, I really need to talk about this work-related thing, but I don't feel like that's for this space. Mm. And I'm like, for this space, it's you, it's part of you. Mm. Because I feel like she would negate that. She would feel like that wasn't the right thing. that's kind of how I'm feeling. I want to just reach out in a week or two, but I don't know. I'm really doubting getting it, doubting myself that I can get it right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right, it just totally makes sense, because right now you're in the heavy grief of it. It's news that is 2 days old. So, you know, you won't always feel like this. You can trust yourself to let, this is already processing through you. You're already feeling your way through it. And so in a week or two, you'll feel differently. You may know more. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to have all the answers right now for something that is unfixable. I guess I'm curious to know, for your client, does she have like support around her? Is she kind of well supported?
She lives in a country where her family aren't. She has a few grown up children and a couple that are still at home, and they're all with her. But you know what, you know, the thing is, the eldest, I think, is only like 23, 24. And geez, we all know that you're still a baby then, right? So that's why I said, if you need to talk, because I do know that she's lacked support. And I also know that she hasn't, apart from her husband, she hasn't had an awful lot of people in her life where she could really talk about the real deep stuff with. And so that was my concern for her.
I think you can really trust your instincts here, Lisa. I don't think you need to worry too much about getting it wrong, getting it right. My sense is that actually you're feeling your way through something that's just profoundly impacted you. And you've described yourself just witnessing how it's changing just even in a few days.
Yeah.
So you can just let it bubble away and, you know, trust that you'll know what to say or do when it feels right.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I much as it, I really didn't want to talk about it, it feels like such a relief to sit with you all. So thank you for holding it for me.
Yeah. I think as well, when we find ourselves kind of going through that, even when we're not directly impacted, we're also processing every other grief we've had, you know? So, you know, part of this is about taking care of you, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just really want to echo so many of the comments, just lovely, like how lucky your client is to have you in her corner.
Thank you. I'll just cry at you again, but thank you.
Yeah, crying's totally part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for sharing that. Good stuff, folks. Isn't this good? Thanks so much for being here. It's really joyous to spend time with you and hear about your clients. Always so fun to talk about clients and how we can best support them. We will be moving to the last Thursday of the month as our regular supervision support call time for the rest of the year. And we are sorting out, in fact, I think we have sorted out the calendar for this, so that you can subscribe to a digital calendar that sorts it out. The one we've been using is so bloody glitchy. And because I need 4 separate calendars, trying to find the software that will allow to do that has proven to be a total like Mercury retrograde nightmare. So, but we Kay has sorted out a solution, which is amazing. So I'll come back into your inboxes with the links for that, so that you've got it all sorted. But yeah, just thank you so much for your energy and presence and time today. Really fun to see you all. And I'll see you in October. Yeah. I'll be 50 then. Oh my goodness. So fun. All right, loves. Take care. See you. Bye-bye.